seated. The three lessons that we have today are so powerful, and they say so much. In the Proverbs, I enjoy the Proverbs, reading them, because they tell you of life and life itself. And as we read earlier in the Proverbs, that we should keep our heart with all diligence, because out of our heart comes the issues of life. And those issues of life is life unto Christ, or it's life unto ourselves. If we take and want to live for ourselves, we find Jesus has told us that out of the heart proceeds all evilness. But if our heart is in Christ Jesus and we have turned our life over to Christ, we find then that out of our heart would proceed the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God would have control of our life, of our spirit, and our physical body in its sinful nature would be dead in Christ Jesus. So we find that even in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people listening to him, he says, if you eat something, it goes into you, but if you are to speak something, out of the mouth comes the desires of the heart. So where is your heart is the question we have today before us. And we find then that the man that was healed because of his infirmities, he went out, and when Jesus seen him again, Jesus told him to be careful that he does not sin, because something worse could come upon him. Yet if we read the next verse out of what was read, we would find that he went to the leaders of the land and told them, it was Jesus that healed me. It was Jesus that told me to take up my bed and walk. We find that the Sadducees and the Pharisees had made so many laws of do's and don'ts in life that this is what their life was about. If we keep this law and that law, we're okay. If we don't, then we're sinning. And one of them was carrying their mat or their bed on the Sabbath day was a sin as far as they were concerned, because it was on the Sabbath day. Yet Jesus did not tell him, don't take up your bed. He says, take up your bed and walk. And so the man did, and he did as he was commanded. But he also wanted to be on the good side, it seems, of the Pharisees and Sadducees, so he told them who had cured him. Now we come into Romans, and we see Paul speaking to the Christians. And as he's speaking to the Christians here, we find so very plainly that he tells us the first few chapters, he has talked about the way sin can take a hold of us. And he has talked about the way in which we should live. We are to live by faith. It's by faith alone, by grace alone, that we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And as you look at this cross of Calvary, do you see Jesus dying there for your sins? Or do you see an empty cross and think nothing of it? You know, we take and we say, we look at the history and we say that George Washington was the father of our country, and we accept that because of what history tells us. Yet we take the Bible, which is a history book, a poetry book, a song book, and a book of prophecy telling us how to live and the things that's going to come on in the world, and that we can turn to it and have the Holy Spirit teach us and live in us and through us, that we would know what God wants. Yet in this history book, using it as a history book, we say, yes, we realize Jesus died on the cross, and I accept that because it's written, but I don't accept it personally. And so we find we don't understand why people would want to crucify someone And how could it be that he died for the sins of the world? Yet we find in that same book, the prophecy book and the book of life, telling us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as we mentioned before, that world is not only the world of the people in the world, but that world is me. That world is you. You are the one that put Jesus on that cross. I am the one that put Jesus on that cross. Even though it happened 2,000 years ago, Christ died for the sins, for our sins, which was to be what we would commit 2,000 years after his resurrection or after his crucifixion. And we find that he was buried and he rose again because the death could not keep a holy and just God in the grave. He overcame this for you and for me. And this is what Paul is telling the Christians here. He says, if you have Christ in your heart and in your life, and if the issues of life coming out of your heart is proclaiming Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the one that you have decided to follow and to make him first in all that you say and do, you will find that you are walking in the Spirit. And then as he says, therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So many times we find that we don't want to deny Christ, and yet we want to do things our own way. And so we say, we've heard people say these people are carnal Christians. Yet Paul tells us very plainly, and it tells us in Galatians and other places in Scripture, that if we do not have Christ, if we are in enmity against the Christ, and if we are carnal, thinking only of what we can get in the world, we are enemies of God, and we will not enter heaven because of our carnal mind. These are the ones in which, if you were to go onto the good soils that Jesus talked about, the seed sprouted and the sun choked it, or the cares of the world choked it out, and they left their first love. And so many times we see so many people that are pressed with the cares of the world, that they leave the love of Jesus Christ. They want to be living in the world and to receive all the glories or all the fun that the world can give. But they find that they cannot do it and have Jesus as their Lord and Savior at the same time. We find that we have to make a choice. And Jesus says, remember, if they persecute you, they have persecuted me. And he says, you can have my glory, and you can sit with me on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, on my throne, if you have me first in all that you say and do. I knew a football player, well, I shouldn't say knew, I still know him, and he was in college, and he was a fast runner. And he thought, you know, I'm going to go into the NFL and I'm going to make all this kinds of money, and I will sign a 5-year contract, and I'll take all this money and I can use it for the Lord. And on his last game, he blew out his knee. Now, those of you in football, you know that ends your career in football. And he didn't know what he was going to do. And he did finish, he did finally go in, he went into the ministry, and he's still in the ministry, and he's praising God. And he says, you know, I thought I needed things of the world, yet I did not put my trust in God, and God let my knee be blown out. And it was an injury from football. But because of that injury, I turned myself over to the Lord and says, Lord, if you want me to serve you, You have to show me the way in which to go. And God did. The man today is in the ministry, and he's doing an excellent job. And he is one that professes, if you do not have Jesus living in your heart, first in all that you do, then you better straighten your life out, he says. And he says, God had to take me to the woodshed and punish me to make me realize that he wants to be first in my life. He says it was quite a decision to have to make and to depend on the will of God. But he says, I do not regret it, and I am so happy that the Spirit fills me every day, and I am so happy that the Spirit continues to fill me as I come to him daily. And I can say the same thing. If I do not serve Christ first, then I have no sense or no reason to be trying to serve him at all, because he has to be first in my life. And he says, I will give you the blessings you need. I will help you, and I will see that you have life and have it more abundantly in joy and in peace. And if you have to suffer, I am there with you. You see, God sent Christ into the world to die for our sins. And God sent him, and he became flesh, just like you and I. And he died in our place. He was sinless, and yet he took our sin upon him. And because of his sinless nature, he rose again from the dead, because Satan could not keep him. And he took the keys of hell and of death away from Satan. And he says, when sin has shown its full bloom, I will come again, and I will destroy everything that's not good. I will destroy Satan, because he has rebelled against the just and holy God. God has sanctified us, and God has justified us through his Son, Jesus. We are justified because we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and we are sanctified as we continue walking with him, seeking his will, reading his word, and asking him to lead us and guide us. We find that to be carnally minded, we will be not serving him, but we will be working against him. In Galatians 6:8, it tells us, for he who sent or works with his flesh will reap what he sows. And he who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit. You see, man today, we want to live in the world, and we want the things of the world so many times. And yet God is saying, put me first. See what I want you to do, and where I want you to live, how I want you to serve me, and then I will give you all that you need, and I will give you an abundance of all that you need, because you have me first. So he tells us there in Galatians that if we are to sow to the world, we will of the world reap carnality and enmity against God. But if we sow to the Spirit, and if we sow to the Spirit, we rely on Christ and Christ alone. And relying on Christ and Christ alone, we find he will lead us, he will keep us in his care, and you know, he'll even help us to make the decisions that sometimes might seem hard in our life. We'll find that we have battles in our life that we have to turn over to him and him alone, because he is the one that fights for us. He is the one that stands up for us and lives for us in all things. If we were to look then, even we could look at further into Scripture, and in 1 John chapter 1, it tells us that if we love the Lord, He will not only live in our heart and in our life, but he puts it like this in John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and with one another in Christ Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful promise to be able to stand on the Word of God and know that the blood that Christ shed on Calvary's cross cleanses us from all sin. And as it cleanses us from all sin, it helps us to be able to live for him. So out of our heart flows the issues of life, but because we have Jesus and we're being sanctified daily by him in our life, and we're justified by him because we have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, we will find that people will see Christ in us and glorify him. Have you ever had a chance to talk to someone that does not want to hear about the Lord? And as you pray for them and as you visit with them, they become softer and softer towards the Scripture and towards what God has to say for them, to them, or that through you to them. And as you visit with them, they finally give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful feeling, and it's a wonderful experience when you see someone giving their heart to Christ. And it's a wonderful feeling and an action to see, and that you can pray for these people and ask God to not only watch over them, but keep them. And it's good to be able to pray for those that might not want to listen to you, and yet they will think about it many times, about it later. I once visited a man, and I told him about the Lord, and later on when I visited him, he says, "I'm still thinking about it." And I told him, "I'll keep you in prayer," and he says, "Yes." He says, "I'm trying to think in my own mind if what you have told me is right or not." And so as I visited with the man, and I plan on visiting him at different times, I pray God will soften his heart to the point that he will finally say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins." You see, it is hard to visit some people and to ask them straight out, "Are you ready to meet Jesus?" And the question comes to us. Out of our heart comes the issues of life, but are we ready to meet Jesus if he was to call us home now? Not tomorrow, but now. Because then we would hear, "Today, harden not your heart, but accept Jesus Christ, because he's calling you today." And we find so many times that the people are open and they want to hear the word, and they maybe even want to be asked or challenged to accept Jesus Christ. We find that even in our daily walk, that many of them who are downhearted need comfort and encouragement. And so we want to do that day by day as we go through life. We find that as Paul, or as Peter talked in Acts, and Paul gave his testimony before Felix, he told them it in this way. He says, Jesus came to open the eyes in order that they may from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God they would be turned, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, and that they would inherit and be sanctified by the faith that they have in Jesus Christ. And this is what he wants us to do, to have faith in him, trust in him, and we can not only be inheritance with him, but we are the children of God, and we will be sitting with Jesus at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We are found then that as we live for him day by day, we do it in faith, And in faith, we let the Spirit lead us and guide us. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us daily, that we can not only do His will, but that we would be willing to stand up for Him regardless of what He want, of what comes along. And we find very well that we will be spiritually inclined, even as we speak to those in the Christian era or the Christian camp and those that aren't, that God will move a mighty way using us as His instrument and tool to bring others into His kingdom. For we know that the harvest is ready and the laborers are few, and we are to pray to God that that more laborers would be sent into that harvest. Am I being willing to be one of those laborers? And if He asks me to be one of those laborers, am I willing to leave my thoughts and my comfort zone to stand up for Him? And we have to say, yes, Lord, if I am going to serve You, I want to serve You first. And then I ask that Your blessings be upon me and keeping me in all trials that I may go through and all hardships that I may go through, but that it would be to serve You and serve You alone as we go from this day forward in life. We find that the natural man himself will not want to serve God, because the natural man wants to see what he can get for himself and himself alone. Yet the spiritual man, our inner being, is the one that wants to serve Christ. Our inner being is the one that wants Christ to be first in our lives. That inner being, or our soul, our heart, should be turned to Him daily so that we serve Him and Him alone in all that we say or do. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would watch over us, that we would have Your dominion in us, that we are not under the law of sin, but under the law of grace, that we be Your servants, O Lord, day by day, and that we live for You day by day, serving You and You alone in faith, that in faith alone we are saved by Your grace, and being saved by Your grace, we can come to everlasting life with You and spend eternity with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 257.